Hi, and welcome to APV On the Air, the podcast of the Alliance for a Progressive Virginia and our sister organization, Together Virginia. My name is Scott Price, and I'll be your host this week on what will be our first inaugural podcast. This is the pilot. This is where we try to knock out some of the kinks that are definitely in this and where we begin to learn how to be podcasters, which we do not necessarily know how to do. This is, for us, clearly an on-the-job training situation, and we are going to try and do as good a job as we can on this. And there's a learning curve. We would hope that you will bear with us. Obviously, in 2017, we've seen how disastrous it can be to have someone learn their job while they're doing it. Certainly at the federal level, we've seen what that can be like. We would hope that we will be able to do a better job than them, and that 6 months from now, you will be pleased with the product as opposed to being terrified that you're going to all get killed. I thought that what I would do is give you a little information about us as an organization. APV was founded in 2011. We're an all-volunteer, not-for-profit organization. We're a multi-issue organization that works at the local, state, and federal level. We have been involved with supporting for the public schools here in Richmond, Virginia. We've stood up against the attempt to put a ballpark in historic Shaco Bottom. We have been involved with protecting women's reproductive rights at the state level. We have been involved in attempting to end the practice of conversion therapy on LGBTQ minors. We have worked on energy and the environment, including standing up to Dominion Power and their pretty abysmal record on clean and renewable energy. We are involved with a scrap with them now over attempts to broaden fracking in Virginia and also put a series of natural gas pipelines through some of the most scenic and historic parts of our state. At the federal level, we have championed universal health care, and we are in particular watching the Congress in D.C. and, of course, the Trump administration. I want to let you know that, again, this is sort of, we're doing this the way Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland used to do shows. You know, we're doing this in my living room with the windows open on a August afternoon, and we had to stop just a little while ago because they decided to empty all the dumpsters behind my house. And then a few minutes after that, basically all of the first responder emergency vehicles decided to go up my street at speed with their sirens on. So between that and my cat, who occasionally decides that he wants to get involved, please bear with us. Think the sound is going to be pretty good. If you're hearing this, then the sound was obviously good enough that we decided to put it up. But there may be some sound effects that are not sound effects we intentionally generated. So I thought what we would do is, first I would tell you a little about the organization, and then I will give you an idea of why we wanted to do a podcast. I think I just told you about the organization, so I'm going to move to why we were going to do a podcast. APV was founded in 2011, and it probably, you know, 5 years or 10 years before that, it would have been a much, much more difficult endeavor for us to put APV on the map. But we were all involved with Facebook, and we had this network of people who'd known each other for a very long time in the Richmond area and throughout Virginia. And when, in this case, the Virginia General Assembly in 2011 passed what is typically referred to as TRAP, Targeted Regulations Against Abortion Providers, we decided to form this organization to fight back. And I mean, I will say that what you got was a lot of people were on Facebook and they were very unhappy with what had happened and they wanted to know what they could do. And we decided, rather than wait on other people to do something, we would do something now. And so we were able to put APV together pretty quickly and, you know, hit the road running. And we've been going ever since. We still have a very strong presence on social media. We have a Facebook page. Our sister organization Together Virginia has a Facebook page. We are active there. We do a lot of events and stuff, and we also have a lot of discussion and dialogue on social media. We have a Twitter presence, and I say that with some trepidation. I am technically the master of our Twitter account, and I will tell you that if you go to the APV online Twitter account, you will not see a whole lot there, because I'm not very good at posting on Twitter, and I really, really kind of hate Twitter. So what I would say is bear with us on that. We're going to be Twittering more. I will tell you right now that I do not like the format of Twitter. I think it plays to the strengths of bullies and narcissists and trolls. I do not like the idea that I'm supposed to get out information in 140 characters, or I'm then supposed to have this sort of this string of Twittery stuff that comes out that you're supposed to, you know, follow down the line. I just hate the whole thing. I think there's a reason why Twitter is so ideally matched to Mr. Trump. I will go back to what I just said: bullies, narcissists, and trolls. It's not ideal for us as an organization that likes to pride itself on being thoughtful. But we do have a Twitter account, and there will be more Twittering in the future. There's no doubt of that. So that, you know, that had been primarily how we've gotten around Facebook. We have a webpage at apvonline.org. And our sister organization is togethervirginia.org. And we invite you to check those out, the events, and it gives information about issues that we are looking at or positions we have on various issues and so on and so forth. So check out our website. But again, a lot of the action is on the Facebook. So as important as social media is, we have certainly been aware that there are other vehicles with which to communicate with people, whether it's video, whether it's GIFs or GIFs, I don't know the pronunciation, the little short videos, and certainly podcasting. So we had wanted to do this because rather than say, here, read this article, read this article, read this article, maybe what we could do is, you know, agglomerate a lot of information for you and give you that information in a entertaining way. So we are going to try podcasting. We hope you like it. You know, it won't be a substitute for our other events. For instance, our salons that we do every month at Helen's Restaurant, and we're very proud of those. And if you check out our webpage or our Facebook page, you'll see what's coming up, and I'll be doing a plug for that after we take a break. We're not gonna stop doing those sorts of things, and candidate forums and summits and stuff like that. But we thought that we would give you this on a weekly basis, and we would try to figure out a way that hopefully you like and that works for us and that's doable. It's one of the reasons we're doing it this way today, because it is, frankly, it's just easier to put me in front of a mic and wind me up and let me go than to do some of the other stuff. But I will guarantee you that this is not going to be the format that we use going forward, at least not on a regular basis. You know, we have talked about a lot of different, you know, ways of doing this. There are a lot of templates out there. We, for instance, had a group of very smart, very articulate people come together and have dinner and sit around and discuss a number of events and issues that are going on. And we recorded that, and we found that there are elements of that that really work and some that don't. And so we are still working on that concept, but I think it's something that will happen certainly on occasion. You know, I think we're definitely going to do interviews, especially if we can tie them in with our salons. We're excited about this. We're a little nervous. At least I am a little nervous. You know, again, I would just ask that you bear with us at the beginning here, and, you know, see what comes out of this. So we're going to take our first little break here, and when we come back, we will be talking about announcements and things like that. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back to APV On The Air, the podcast of the Alliance for a Progressive Virginia and our sister organization, Together Virginia. So this would be the part of our program where I make some announcements, give you some calendar information, and stuff like that. So, since our inception back in 2011, APV has hosted a monthly event that we call a salon. It's a sort of conceit from the 18th century, a living room where you would get everybody together and they would all be smart and talk and stuff like that. We like to think that that's what we're doing too. Each month, it's at Helen's Restaurant. Helen's is at 2527 West Main Street in the Fan. It starts at 6:15. It goes to 9 p.m. That's the second Monday of every month. This month, August the 14th, we will have as our guest speaker State Senator Jennifer McClellan. Senator McClellan is making her seventh appearance, I believe, at a salon, at an APV salon. She is an excellent speaker, excellent legislator who is a mover and shaker in the Democratic Party in Virginia. We are very lucky and very happy to have a good relationship with her and have her come and talk to us about what happened in the General Assembly this year and what she thinks is going to happen down the road. So please join us, 6:15, Monday, August 14th. We also put out a light buffet and offer you a chance to have some dinner and some drinks and listen to a great speaker. And also hang around with a bunch of great progressive people because you won't be alone. We have a good crowd. I think that it's a lot of fun. I think people enjoy it. So, coming up Sunday, August 13th at Strange Ways Brewery, which is at 2277 Dabney Road from 2 to 6 p.m., they are having what they're calling Flights for Rights, which is a program to help immigrant children and families with legal fees. These are people who are not documented and who are being harassed by ICE, and in particular to children who are, for instance, American citizens, but whose parents may be undocumented and who are seeing a real spike in harassment by the Trump administration. These people need legal assistance, and we are proud to support this effort. And this is the work of our friends at RVA Huddle. I suggest you come out there and drink a few beers for a good cause. Then, September 9th, here in Richmond, at St. Paul's Church, that's at 816 East Gray Street in downtown. It's right by the Capitol. APV is a proud member of the Virginia Civic Engagement Table, and we are co-sponsors and co-hosts for the Virginia Economic Justice Summit, which deals with the issue of economic justice. We're going to be talking about topics like the student loan crisis, wage theft, affordable housing, among other issues, and we invite you to come down. That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Again, that is at St. Paul's Church. That is 816 East Gray Street, and you will see that event on our website, and you will see ads for that event on our Facebook page as well. So, next thing I want to talk about is also happening this weekend. That is the event in Charlottesville. I'm going to talk about this a little more broadly in another segment, or at least I'll be talking about it a little more in another segment. I think I'm probably just going to go after it right now. Earlier this spring, the city of Charlottesville decided that it was going to rename two parks in the city and remove some statuary that dated from the 1920s that was statuary of Confederate General Robert E. Lee and Confederate General Stonewall Jackson. This is part of a very broad issue across the South. It's part of a broad issue around the country. Their decision to do this brought a hailstorm of criticism from the very far right. And then they showed up in Charlottesville and had a torchlight vigil in which they paraded around with Confederate flags and gave Nazi salutes and so on and so forth. And that was deeply disturbing to a lot of people. And they came back in July. They had a permit to demonstrate by the Lee statue. The statues have not been removed yet. And that was met by a massive outpouring of counter-protests by the people of Charlottesville, by progressive organizations, by more radical leftist organizations and groups, church groups, so on and so forth. There were 40 of these individuals that showed up for this, and they were met by well over 1,000, maybe as many as 2,000 people. That was in July. That was really problematic, because while there was no violence between the neo-Nazis and the counter-protesters, the city of Charlottesville, their police department, and in particular the state police, really overreacted, as they've done on many occasions. We've seen this in a lot of places around Virginia and around the country, where people were pepper sprayed and were arrested when there was no need for it, where the police escalated situations that had no need to be escalated. So, in the backdrop of that, we now have the alt-right, call them whatever you want, fascists, white supremacists, have called for a protest again at the Lee Monument in what is now Emancipation Park in Charlottesville for August the 12th. They claim that as many as 1,000 neo-Nazi, neo-Confederate white supremacists are going to show up to demonstrate for white heritage and all that other crap. You know, I want you to know about this because there's going to be a counter-demonstration. And within the context of that, I think as progressives and as a progressive organization, I want to talk a little about what we might want to do, what people should do. I also want to give you some advice about this. These people have been around a long time. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, for a long time, neo-Nazis and even the neo-Confederates and stuff, you could sort of laugh them off because they were just, you know, fringe people who were, you know, who had repugnant ideas, but they had no, since they had no power and they had no real voice, that they weren't in a position to influence people or anything, and they were kind of a laughingstock and a joke. Well, with the collapse of the Republican Party into the hands of the radical conservatives and the radical right, suddenly people like this have avenues to power that were not open to them before. And certainly since the elections in November, we've seen them flexing their muscles and trying to find a place in the body politic in which to air these views. We have to be really aware of this, and we've got to stand up to it. A lot of times, you know, in the past, what has happened is we ignore them. And I think that was not a bad strategy. What they want often is they want to be on television, and they want to cause a fight. They want to have that kind of, they want some violence and things like that. And not giving it to them is usually the best, you know, the best option here. But I think we've moved past that because we now live in a society where we don't really have that option anymore. These people have to be met and stood up to. And it is dangerous. And I don't exactly know what to tell people to do, for instance, about Charlottesville. I think people should go there. I think people should protest peacefully. But I do not necessarily trust the police departments that are involved with trying to control this situation. I have some empathy for them. I think it is a difficult situation for law enforcement, but they haven't shown that they're very good at this, frankly. And I certainly don't trust the Nazis, who thrive on violence, and some of these people are not emotionally or psychologically stable, frankly, and they are often well armed. Virginia is a right to carry, open carry state. I suspect that there will be people with firearms there. So I want, on the one hand, to encourage people to get involved. Don't be shy. I think a lot of people are going to go to this, and I think people should. But I will also tell you that I'm scared for what could happen. I'm afraid of what could happen there. So people need to go with that in mind. I'm going to give you a couple of just things that you might want to keep in mind when you go. There are a lot of organizations, a lot of anti-fascist organizations that are specifically geared up for this, and a lot of them are planning for these demonstrations with the understanding that things could go south. So I listen to them when they talk about how people should protect themselves. You want to think about using the buddy system. Don't go by yourself. You want to think about being careful about the places you go. I think that there are probably going to be places where both sides maybe are looking for confrontation, and that confrontation could get physical. You need to be aware of your surroundings and try, if assuming you don't want to get arrested or you don't want to actually confront people physically, then you want to try to avoid those places. I can't tell you where those places will be because I don't know if anyone knows right now, but I think you need to keep that in mind. I would say I'm not sure what the weather is going to be like. I don't know that it's going to be typical Virginia August weather. It's been very nice. But if it does, if the heat does come back, and even if the heat doesn't, you need to think about staying hydrated and staying cool, because you will probably be on your feet for a while. Wear appropriate shoes, appropriate clothing. You might think about wearing loose-fitting clothing that, I hate to say this, but that you can run in, because, you know, if things start happening, you should try to get out of that area, not stick around. Charge up your gear. Make sure your phone is charged up. Make sure that you are, you know, that people know where you are, that people know you're going to be there. Learn, you need to have some ideas about what happens if you encounter the police and how you're going to deal with that. Police can be dangerous in these situations. You know, think about your own safety, not only in reference to the Nazis, but to the fact that police often escalate situations and overreact. Keep all of that in mind, and then I'm going to turn around and tell you, but you should go. You should really go. You know, just don't get killed or beaten or arrested or pepper sprayed or what have you. But try to stay with folks. You know, try to stay close to people, because you don't want to get, you know, off by yourself, because that's when bad things can happen to you. So that is August the 12th. It is, and I will tell you, the other side of this is that this could be fairly innocuous. The neo-Nazis are famous for talking big and not being able to follow through. They, it is possible that 1,000 alt-right failed Sun wannabes are going to show up with their swastikas and their Confederate flags, etc. It's also possible that it'll be 100 people, and that the police will just spend most of their time chaperoning them around. I'm told, by the way, that it won't be at the Lee Monument at Emancipation Park. That it will, they've moved it to a park called McIntyre Park, which I do not have a map in front of me. Another thing you should do is familiarize yourself with the layout of Charlottesville, so that if your phone doesn't work or something like that, you have an idea of how to get out of the area. But apparently, yeah, McIntyre Park. So on the one hand, you know, that's on the 12th. That's this Saturday. Go if you feel so moved. If not, and we talk about this stuff a lot, then find another way to show support. I know that, you know, putting up a support picture on your Facebook page or something like that sounds, you know, it's what it is, but, you know, if that's all you can do, do that, but at least do something, and think about getting involved. And also a lot of these groups, you know, you don't necessarily have to agree with everybody's politics to help them with medical support and legal aid and things like that, because those are places where money can help. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will talk about some other stuff, which I cannot see on my prompter right now, but I will figure that out when we get back. And thanks for listening. APV on the air. Hey, welcome back to APV On The Air, the podcast of the Alliance for Progressive Virginia and our sister organization, Together Virginia. So, I think that what will happen in the future in our podcasts will be that they might involve a specific issue or topic, or we might talk about a couple of articles that reference to an issue that we work on or things like that, or have a guest speaker, you know, guest interview kind of thing. But because this is our inaugural pilot program, I thought maybe what we would do for the rest of the program is I would just sort of run down where we're at. I think at one level, I think everybody knows the situation we're in and how grave it is. But I think what I want to do is talk about, one, how grave it is, but also how, you know, what the things that we have going for us, the things that are on our side. I am clearly not a very good prognosticator. Last November proved it. I did not think Mr. Trump was going to win. Technically, he didn't win. He didn't win the popular vote, obviously, but he did win. And that has left us in this peculiar, dangerous, awful, mind-blowing situation. And we need to talk about it. I mean, we really need to talk about it. One of the things that we've talked about since November and since January is this is not normal. This is not something that you should get used to. This is wrong. Something has gone wrong. There's a Philip K. Dick book called The Man in the High Castle, which is a pretty famous piece of science fiction. And in that book, and I think that they've made Amazon or HBO, somebody has made a television version of it now. But in that book, a number of the characters voice this sense. In the book, it's an alternate history in which the United States lost the Second World War and is controlled by Germany and Japan. And in that book, a number of characters have this sneaking suspicion that something's not right. It's really fascinating because it's like they know that they're in an alternate universe that's not right. And I don't know about you, but I think about that a lot. On the one hand, you know, we use words like fascism and we use words like Nazi and stuff in referencing parts of the modern conservative movement who are genuinely Nazis and fascists, but I'm not saying the United States is now occupied, you know, by Nazi Germany or something like that. But there is a sense of that book that just grinds on me. It's like, oh my. Because so much science fiction, so much sort of speculative fiction, and frankly not very good science fiction, involves the sort of the Lex Luthor becoming president. You know, the sort of that some imbecile billionaire, or actually, they're usually not imbecile billionaires. They're like super genius billionaires become president, or something along those lines. That's not what happened last year. Not exactly. I mean, it feels like it a little bit, but I don't know. I am still 6 months in. I am still searching for a language and a way to describe what's happened. So, I mean, here's what we know. We know that in 2016 we had a political campaign like we've not had before. The GOP did what it has done in the last couple of campaigns in the sense that it basically opened up a three-ring circus in 2015 and invited every crank and TV personality and failed politician in the Republican universe, in the TV universe, to come out. And basically a lot of them, I mean, this is, I think, pretty well understood, a lot of those people, the Mike Huckabees and the Newt Gingriches and stuff, are there to make money. You know, they're there to get, you know, to promote a book or to get their speaking fees up and stuff like that. And into that, and that's what the Republican Party had become over the last couple of election cycles. It's become a sort of a joke because this is a party that isn't interested in governing. It's a party that doesn't really know how to govern. It's a party that has taken its, what it calls policy and ideology, has taken it so far into cloud cuckoo land, shall we call it, that you can't govern with the philosophy that they actually espouse. So it has basically reduced itself to this sideshow, right? And I mean, when you think about it, in 08 and in 12, it in both cases they produced sort of standard politicians in John McCain and Mitt Romney, but those guys had to go through that circus. And the what it did to Republican to the idea of the Republican Party was really, really destructive. And I don't think they knew how destructive it was until in this last cycle, an honest to God professional grifter con man decided to throw his hat in the ring. And historians are going to be writing about Donald Trump. And this is a horrible thing to say. I hate saying this, but he's going to be a figure. There are going to be people are going to write about Trump, and people are going to do their dissertations on Trump and things like that, because this is something that's been coming for a long time, and it tells us about a deep sickness in the American democracy, but it's also very specific to the modern Republican Party and to modern conservatism that someone like Trump, there used to be gatekeepers. There used to be people who could keep, who would keep Donald Trump out. Okay? It's not, I mean, you know, it's people like fringe candidates like him, you know, used to show up on a fairly regular basis, but the party had a way of winnowing them out. But a couple of things happened. One, through, you know, 3 decades of lying and hyperbole and hyperbolic language and code words and things like this, the Republican Party turned its base into the kind of people who tune into Alex Jones' InfoWorld, you know, InfoWars, or Rush Limbaugh, or who read the Drudge Report. Or even if they don't, they get their news from people who do. And of course, there's Fox News. And they dumb these people down, and they radicalize them, and they taught them that government doesn't work and that it doesn't really matter who's in charge. And so are we really surprised that they decided to take a huckster who is good at being a huckster? Because Donald Trump is a grifter. He's a liar and a grifter and an incompetent who shouldn't have ever gotten anywhere near the Republican Party nomination. But boom shakalaka, here we have him. They couldn't stop him. And then the assumption was that Mrs. Clinton would stop him. And then those cynical bastards, and I'll just say this, the cynical bastards who run the media, who all thought Mrs. Clinton was going to win, kept Trump alive and kept building him up because they were getting ratings. You know, I can't remember the name of the guy. I think he's CNN. It might have been NBC. And I don't have it in front of me. But he was like, yeah, you know, it's purely cynical. We're doing this for the ratings. But who cares? You know, that's how things work. And that was an executive with one of those companies. Obviously, I'm not quoting them exactly because I don't know their name or who they were with. So don't take that as far as you want to go with it. But I'm comfortable that I'm accurate in what was being said. So, you know, this is a situation we find ourselves in. They put us into a spot where Mrs. Clinton, who was a flawed and problematic candidate, but who was a fairly standard centrist, moderate, actually kind of progressive on some things, you know, but she was a woman, and she had been under constant fire for her entire political career, and that took a toll. I mean, I don't know what the Clintons are. I have my opinions about her and her husband, and some of them are good and some of them are bad, but they're still fairly orthodox political creatures. Donald Trump is something out of this world, you know, and the fact that there was a concerted effort, and now, frankly, that there is clearly a concerted effort from forces outside the United States to sabotage this election is just an earthquake. It is absolutely terrifying. I have friends of a certain stripe who will tell me that it doesn't matter. The Russian stuff doesn't matter, and the real problems are with, you know, neoliberalism and the problems within the Democratic Party and so on and so forth. And it's, you know, they're not completely wrong, but they are not at all right. Something disastrous happened in 2000 when the Bush v. Gore, right? I mean, that was a quiet coup. That was a coup from the Supreme Court, and it is something that Sandra Day O'Connor will have to carry on her back for the rest of her life, and it is her legacy is the Bush administration, what was wrought by that. But what happened here was a perfect storm of things that came together at this singular specific time and have produced something that I don't know what to tell you. We didn't know in November. The next day, I told people at the time, and I've said since then, that it felt like, I remember what 9/11 felt like. And the day after that election felt like that. It felt like a sort of Pearl Harbor on democracy. He is not just another politician. Yes, he's incompetent. Yes, he is, you know, in some way, I mean, some people say, oh, Mike Pence, you know, if Trump gets impeached, Mike Pence will be much worse. In some ways, but Trump is, he's simply the worst, most toxic, vulgar epitome of American politics in the beginning of the 21st century that you can imagine. He's just terrible. And I know that I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but it's existential. It's not merely that he's stupid. It's not merely that he employs his family and, you know, and that he's a kleptocratic cacophistry. It's not merely that he is a racist and a misogynist and all of that. It's that he's basically taken American democracy and just rolled it in a pile of excrement. And it is something that is going to... And now that that's been done, it can be done again. If they can have one Trump, we can have another. We should be terrified of the fact that Donald Trump is not a very smart man, and he is not very good at this. But the next guy might be. And that should be terrifying to all of you. Okay, let's take a little break, and I will try to calm down a little bit, and we will be right back on APV On the Air. APV On the Air. So here's the thing. I know a lot, it is very fashionable and very easy to hate politicians, quote unquote. But I will tell you, I've worked with politicians. I've worked with legislators who've been there a long time. And their motives are individual motives and so on and so forth. And yes, getting reelected is very important to them and so on and so forth. But most of them are professional about what they're doing, and a lot of them, at least at some level, even the conservatives, have a sense of civic duty. You know, they have a sense that this is an important job and that there's a dignity to this job. That's gone right down the tubes. And I don't know how we'll get that back. In a world of Twitter, in a world of quote-unquote fake news, in a world where so many people are so disenchanted that they have no interest in participating. And I don't know what we're going to do. I honestly don't. I mean, we have to survive Trump, and I want to be clear about this. Donald Trump should and could be impeached today. He is a walking indictment for various crimes. The man has violated the Constitution pretty much from the day he put his tiny hand on the Bible on through. But I don't know that we're going to get that. I think it's going to be hard to do. I think certainly with this Congress, it's going to be hard to do. Some people tell me that Trump is not competent mentally, that he's got early, you know, some kind of dementia, and that they'll remove him because he can't do the job. Again, really hard to do, and I think it's unlikely. I think we have 3.5 years of Donald Trump. So, as I, that's the horrible part. And, of course, Trump is part of a larger picture of the collapse of democracy in this country in so many ways. And it's been going on for a while. And, of course, I have friends who will tell you, oh, it's never been a democracy. It's like, man, they're wrong. They're wrong. We were moving in the right direction and have been for a long time. It's fits and starts, and sometimes it's, you know, one step back and two steps forward and so on and so forth. But we were making progress. And that's one of the reasons for the backlash that has produced Donald Trump. So we're going to be talking about that a lot. We're going to be talking about the Koch brothers. We're going to be talking about Alec. We're going to be talking about the corporate and right-wing assault on democracy in this country. It is something that you need to be more aware of. You may know some of it, but you need to know more. Alec, by the way, is the American Legislative Exchange Council, I think. I think the C stands for council. So, yeah, you know, we forewarned is forearmed, but we need to, I don't know, we have work to do. So I thought with that I would talk a little bit as I finish up for this podcast about things that we are doing. It felt like 9/11. It was the most bone-crushing event. Not because I was a great fan of Mrs. Clinton. Honestly, I was steeling myself for the fact that I would have 4 to 8 years of a Clinton administration that would frustrate me and anger me, and that I would be forced to make apologies or so on and so forth. Well, I would love to have a Clinton administration that I would have to go, oh, they should have done this and they should have done that, because this is so much worse. But, you know, when, like most of us, when I got up that next day, I asked myself, I said, well, you can't quit. You've got to stand up and you got to keep fighting. And APV, you know, we rededicated ourselves to that. We are much more interested in the federal government than we had been during the Obama administration, because while the Obama administration itself was problematic, and it really was, I mean, its immigration policy was not perfect, its foreign policy wasn't so good, and we would have liked single payer and so on and so forth, I wasn't that worried about the Obama administration. And the Republican Congress was a do-nothing Congress, for better or worse. Well, now we have the situation we have now, so we are taking a much closer view of Congress and lobbying much harder at the congressional level. I was really cheered in November by the pop-up of this thing called Indivisible, which I know got a lot of people going. I've certainly seen a lot of people who were involved in the Clinton campaign who have moved towards a position of what they call resistance against Trump and Trumpism. I find that language to be problematic sometimes. I think it's a little flights of fancy and romanticism. But you know what? It's whatever gets you moving. It's whatever gets you up and working. So yeah, you know, there is a resistance. And here's what I want to get across is you've got to find a place to take a stand. And it doesn't have to be the same place everywhere all the time. There are going to be people who are going to be up in Charlottesville this Saturday and who are going to be, you know, risking arrest and risking violence, you know, because they are putting it on the line. If you're not that person, you don't spend your time feeling bad about it. Do something else. Get involved. I don't know, you know, we used to say, oh, you know, talk to your crazy uncle, talk to your family members, stuff like that. Some of those people you're not going to reach. You're never going to reach. But talk to the people you know who didn't vote. Talk to the people you know who think that Trump's just another, that they're all crooks and Trump's just another crook and so on and so on. He's not. This is worse. They've got to get that through their heads. Get involved with organizations. If APV maybe is not your flavor, maybe you want something more radical or less radical or, again, just differently radical or differently progressive or whatever. Get involved. Fight for the issues that matter to you. make sure you're registered to vote. Get involved with these campaigns. We're going to be talking next week about the campaign for governor here in Virginia, Northam Gillespie contest. And, you know, Ralph Northam has got to get better on the environment and on the pipeline issue. But you've got to get involved. And if... you got to get involved. That's all I can say. And it's going to be hard because I really think he's going to be around for 3.5 more years. And you're going to get tired. And we're going to lose because, you know what? When we lost in November, that means we're going to lose more. We just are. So we're going to have to take that. We've got this whole thing we've got to deal with. So, yes, fight back in the ways that you know how. Fight back in the places you can stand up. And don't give up because, you know, you see it. I will tell you, day after the inauguration, the Women's March, people are going to say, oh, well, it really didn't, you know, it meant this or it meant that. Or it was a way for a lot of ex-Clinton people to express their frustration and anger and so on and so forth. I think it was bigger than that. I think it was really, really good. And demos are good. Demos are, you know, important. Actions are important. Direct action is a serious and important thing. But there are a lot of things you can do and a lot of ways to get involved. Please, please keep that in mind. And don't lose hope. You are not alone. And we are going to ride this thing out. We're going to get through this. And on the other side, ideally, there is a better America and a better, safer, more democratic democracy. Let's put it that way. So we're going to take a final break, and I'll have a few parting words for you. Thank you so much for listening. This is APV on the air. So we're back, and I guess as we get ready to part company for the week, the thing I want to say is I know we're all scared. I know these are really, really serious, dangerous times. Right now, Mr. Trump is involved with some kind of nuclear brinksmanship with the North Koreans, which is just terrifying. The North Koreans are not a stable government, and frankly, we don't have a stable government at this point. I don't know what to tell you about that. It is genuinely frightening, and you should be frightened. What I said at the beginning of this podcast, it's not normal. This is not how it's supposed to be. We need to stand up. We need to fight back. You need to take care of yourself personally and emotionally and psychologically. This is going to be a long time to deal with what's going on in America and what happened to our country. But we can get through this. And we are not alone. You're not alone. There are more of us than there are of them. There are a lot more of them than we thought. And that's sad and depressing too. But at the same time, there are a lot of us. And we're not giving up. We've worked too hard to produce this country, to produce the things that are great about America and unique and beautiful about America. And we're not going to let scoundrels and grifters and racists take that away from us. We're just not. So come back and visit next week, and I will wear you guys out some more. Hopefully we will have interesting stuff that doesn't involve me talking for 45 minutes. But otherwise, please come back and visit with us at APV on the air. Thank you.